Today we're spending time with Mike Wendell from the James H. Andrew Railroad Museum History Center, part of the Boone and Scenic Valley Railroad.
How you doing today?
I'm doing well.
Good, good.
And you're in, ready to go?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I knew that we hit this time of the year after the beginning of the year. You traditionally put together programs. I say they're for railroad enthusiasts, but really any kind of person that has any interest in history and history of what railroads are doing here in Central Iowa. This is great opportunities to learn more.
It is. And this is our 10th year.
Is that right?
I can't believe it with our speakers that we've been doing. Last year we had Bill Greenlee with Iowa Depots on January 15th. We had, unfortunately, we had Dr. Rudy Daniels, who people may recognize his name. He's passed away, unfortunately. He was here February 19th last year. Miss him dearly. Nice guy. Great historian. Great author.
He did. Yeah, I was going to say he did a lot of different programs.
All sorts of different types of programs. We had Henry Posner III here. He talked about the Iowa Interstate and the RDC in 2022, and he was really interesting. And then we finished up last year with Don Huffsummer on April 16th. This year, we've had Stuart Buck, who was here on January 14th with his legendary steam trains on the Overland Route. And then we've got Dave Kroger, who's president of the National Railroad Historical Society chapter, Iowa chapter. He's going to be this Saturday, February 18th at 2 p.m. with his Chicago Central and Pacific, a photo history, 1985 to 1996. And so he's from Urbandale. He's going to have a Zoom and a live program together and show a lot of neat photos. A lot of these guys have been around the Midwest taking photos for years and years and years. And so that's going to be really interesting. He's written articles and columns for the Pacific Rail News, Northwestern Lines, Milwaukee Railroad, or Midwest Rail News, and so on.
Okay.
And so then we've got Aaron Isaacs, who's coming up. He's a person we've known for years, a friend of ours, Minnesota Streetcar Museum historian, a little different angle. He's going to be speaking March 18th at 2 p.m. in the museum, Streetcars in Minnesota. That's going to be Zoom and also live, and he's going to talk about how streetcars and interurbans operated back then, and what their museum is all about, and how they restored all sorts of period streetcars.
And this one looks really timely.
The winter of 1936. Yep. Don L. Huffsummer.
Yeah.
Of course, he's a National Railroad author, historian, and speaker. And he's going to be talking about the winter of 1936. And what's amazed me is looking at a lot of these photos he sent me, because I put the show together for him, how deep the snow was back then compared to what you see nowadays.
It depends.
It just depends.
It can be, yeah.
Yeah. He's a retired professor, historian. He's going to have this program. That'll be Saturday, April 8th at 2 p.m. And so that's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be really interesting. He's just a wealth of stories. I think he's on his 12th or 13th book.
I was going to say, there's been quite a few. And accessible through your guys' library.
Yeah, you basically just ask, or you can email me, Mike at BSVRR for Boone and Scenic Valley Railroad.com. Ask for a connection link, and I will send that to you for all those speakers.
Yeah, so you can do Zoom or show up in person, too.
Exactly. So we record it. So we send out links to people for the recordings if they're interested in that sort of thing, too. They can do that. So our next exhibit is going to open in May, Memorial Day weekend, Iowa's Railroad Evolution. It's sponsored in part by the Humanities Iowa and the National Endowment for the Humanities, and it's going to explore the evolution of passenger trains and Iowa railroads and their impact on Iowa's growing public. And it's going to talk about the beginnings, their peak, and eventual decline due to internal and external factors. And we're going to talk about mixed trains, local trains, 1800s passenger cars and wood, and heavyweight cars, streamliner trains, doodle bugs, which are gas electrics, narrow gauge passenger trains, and mail railroad post offices, RPOs they're called, and express types of things. And we're going to highlight the people who worked in the food service industry, overnight accommodations, schedules, passenger growth. It's a lot. It's a lot of
There's
stuff.
There's a lot.
And somehow in the middle of all this, I'm going to make an interactive presentation. It'll be an touch screen. Now that, you know, COVID's long past us, we can go back to that again. I had some made for some previous exhibits.
You're just going to throw this together. Yeah.
Somehow, some way, we're going to do it. It's not even a matter of if we're going to do it. We're going to do it.
It's going to be done.
Yeah. And then we've also recently got a couple of really neat donations. One we had to travel to Eastern Iowa for, called the CTC Board, Centralized Traffic Control Board.
Okay.
And basically what it is what sort of like liken it to what an air traffic controller uses for airplanes, but you use it for keeping track of trains.
Okay.
And so there's a neat picture, which I kind of show you a little bit there.
We'd hold it up to the microphone.
Yeah, if we could.
We couldn't do it justice.
There
you go. So tell me, is this... a much older model, because I'm guessing technology makes
it. Of course, everything's digital nowadays, you know, but this is analog. And basically, a person that's an operator that does that, it's interesting to hear the stories. You can't ask this person a question, you know, in the middle of their job. You know, everybody's supposed to stay away from him. He literally has the control switches to switches, where, you know, freight trains and everything else would run on it.
So they had to, you had to pay attention.
Very, very important thing.
Okay.
So it's just like an air traffic controller looking at a radar screen. So, and then we got another donation from a gentleman who purchased and donated a Jeep 9. It's called Jeep GP 9. General purpose is what Jeep stands for, a diesel control stand, and it's an actual control stand out of a locomotive. And visitors can operate the controls of that, whether it be throttle, brakes, gauges, etc., to see what they actually do. They just kind of get a feel for that. So both of those are on display already, and so folks, if you haven't seen those, and I don't believe you have, because they came online just recently, so that'll be something that folks can see.
Unless you've been into the museum here in the last couple of weeks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then we've got something I've been holding back on mentioning for a while. We've got, but I think sooner or later it's coming, railroad post office car.
Now, last year we talked about
this. We hinted about it a little bit.
Yeah, we were trying to get this, and again, because we had some things we could do with it. And I remember you had people that have been...
Yeah, they're going to move it. It's going to happen.
We're very familiar with it.
Yeah, it was Union Pacific 2064. It will come from the Stewer Museum in Grand Island, Nebraska. The interior is totally original.
Okay.
It has that kind of a frost green paint on the inside. And there's hundreds and hundreds of boxes for mail.
You know,
like it's a rolling post office is basically what it was. This was built, the one we have, was built in 1914. It's 100 feet long. It's very heavy. It's very rare. And we're very excited to have it arrive within the next 6 months. I'm saying 6 months because shipping for something like this is not your average.
It doesn't happen overnight. It's kind of like when we were moving the... the old locomotive and stuff to Indiana, right?
Yeah, or actually that plus moving to the south side of town, number 17 to the south side.
It just doesn't happen overnight.
Right. It's tricky to do that sort of things, but he's going to do a good job. I know
last year you guys were trying to secure this, and so now we've got it. But this is a lot of pressure for you. I mean, you've got a pretty quality museum piece here to
maintain it. Yeah, yep. But the first thing we're going to do when we get it is it's going to go into one of the buildings, and we're going to seal the roof up. It just needs a little bit of that, but it's actually the interior is just mint. It's just incredible. There was original paperwork inside of it. Three mailbags were still in this thing. It's just incredible.
I was wondering where that letter went.
Yeah, really. In fact, there's some things that we look behind. You may find a letter or two. And it even has its own mail slot in it. So it's pretty exciting.
Wow.
It needs some exterior work. Mm-hmm. But the good thing is there's not a lot of them around. There's very few museums have those. So we're excited about that.
Nice addition.
Yeah.
Keep my fingers crossed it comes sooner than later.
Yes, exactly. And then,
but that just means you got more work to do then.
Always. Always. Yep, for sure. We've got our Sunset Barbecue trains that are going to begin March 4th. They wanted me to mention to reserve your tickets now. They begin Saturday from March 4th to the April 29th, and the board's at 4:30 p.m. We're always looking for volunteers, always. And we, in any area, whether at the museum front desk or selling tickets or being on one of the cars, you know, whether it be special events, whether it be Thomas or whether it be Christmas trains or pumpkin trains, you name it. We do have this year also, every April, we have crew member training. So say a person wants to become a brakeman or a conductor or move on to become an engineer. That's the way it steps up. That'll be Saturday, April 15th, and that's an all-day thing in the museum. Okay. And then it'll be outdoor training as well. It's really neat. We get a load of people for that. And so,
well, that's kind of what that is. And that's one of those things. A lot of people will, they might start doing things as a brakeman.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my uncle, I watched him when he was an actual brakeman on some of the old trains. And
oh, yeah.
We got to stop and take a look, and it was... I think in Minnesota Southern,
okay,
something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, we would get to stop there and he'd take us onto the locomotive and show us. And
it's neat.
Cool.
It's really neat. So for those folks that haven't been exposed to that or want to see and learn about all that, they can. There's a test you take and everything else.
Yeah. No, you don't just get to get in the locomotive.
Exactly. Right. It's comprehensive, and there's online training as part of that. But the good thing is that once you learn that, it's just wonderful to be able to do something like that. You know,
do you have retired people?
Yeah, a lot of folks.
I mean locomotive or railroad people that come
some,
in and say,
yeah, yep.
You know, mm-hmm. I want to yep, get to be an engineer.
We have some that have. We have some that are computer programmers. There are other people that work in the healthcare field. It just depends what it is, you know. So it's just something. And some of them actually like the idea because it's a way to get them away from their regular job, just so different than what they normally do, just to clear their minds and do something else that's interesting, you know. So
always a need for more volunteers. I know because we'll get into the busy time of the year.
Yeah.
And once that starts, you need to have people just to greet people.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah. We just this past year, we get folks from multiple foreign countries. We get folks from all over the United States. In fact, at the annual meeting this last year, I think we said we got someone from every single state now.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's incredible. That's the first time that I can remember that we've gotten literally everybody from everywhere.
Hit all 50 states.
Yep. So with our regular trains, advance tickets can be purchased early. We always suggest for people that some of these get really busy.
Sure.
Our dinner trains running the first Saturday in May.
And we've got all of the restrictions have been lifted now, so we're back to being able to take a full dinner car.
Right. And so that's the nice thing about that. We've seen a lot of families. I mean, we always see a lot of families, but we've seen a lot more families. I think when COVID happened, one of the first things when we, you know, were open for the season is people said, thank God there's something we can go and do with our family.
Yeah.
Because it was, you know, they all wanted to get out of the house.
Sure.
And that's when I think you saw a lot of people with campers, selling campers and outdoor stuff. People wanted to be out.
People were outside doing things.
Yeah.
Part of it was you had restrictions because of your, you know, you couldn't get too many people too close together. But now that's gone. That's a good thing.
Though. Yep. So it's really been really nice for that. One thing I didn't mention was that, and we've been doing this for some time, Ames Area Rail Fans, which used to meet in a little white church in Ames for many, many years, they've been over here at the museum. They meet the second Tuesday of every month at 7 p.m. They'll be meet tonight. And people, what they do is they bring their digital photos of their trips or rail fanning types of things that they've been a part of. That go back many years. I've never seen such high quality images of.
You get some really good photographers.
Just absolutely amazing photographers. And these people I've known since I came here 10 years ago, but I didn't realize that.
They were part of a group.
That they're really, really. And I used to go to Ames to go to these once in a while, but.
Sure.
You know, so it's a great way to meet folks.
You see my calendar?
Oh, yeah. Yep, the UP calendar. Nice. Very nice. But that'll be tonight in the museum at 7 p.m. And it's like one of them I looked at about a week ago, just briefly. It was someone's vacation going out to Grand Canyon.
Oh, okay.
Grand Canyon Railway rider. And it was just, and this guy's an incredible photographer anyway, but just to see this stuff, it's just like, you can't help but find it interesting, so.
When we have our guests that come in and speak, and I know you get a lot of people, I'm going to go back to Rudy Daniels, because mm-hmm. I still remember probably one of the biggest attended, one of the more popular presentations had to do with the orphan train.
Right.
Because he had put together a lot of great history about that.
Yeah.
And so many people, it was part of their lives.
It was. And if you were coming from another country to maybe possibly work, find a job working on a farm, for example, in Iowa, they needed help then, just as they do now today, but even more so then, that there wasn't this automation that exists today. So it was a great way to, you know, get yourself to the United States, a great way to be in the Midwest and participate in family's farm, you know, and that's just one aspect of it, you know.
And I think of last year when you mentioned, you know, like Bill Greenlee started it out last year, a lot of great stories about depots, and I mean, that's what he was really, these are depots and, I've known or something.
Yeah, and that's really, really taken off a lot. In fact, this past year, we worked with the EDGE program at the school, at the high school, and we had a couple of gals that came over, and they started working on that, which is really nice. I made a presentation to them, to the teacher, and they came over, and I think that we're going to continue that with students. So there's literally, I mean, I can put these together in my sleep, but the problem is there's so many depots in Iowa that there's so much time that goes into it. But the neat thing is to get the next generation involved in that.
Yeah. So these young people coming in might not be railroad enthusiasts, but they are the media, the tech people that you need to preserve and present these.
Right. And for them, it seems like, you know, because I'm 64, but I wasn't born with a computer mouse in my hand. So, you know, I used a non-electric typewriter in the early days. But it was really neat just to see these kids that just, they take to this stuff like it's, you know, like, well, anybody can do this. You know, there's, you know, it's just a great attitude to see that. So,
but do they find out, like, when they're helping do this, do they, about different depots? And
well, they never realized it. Just like, you know, with us, myself, I didn't realize there was that many depots that were in Iowa. And Bill Greenlee has a regular Facebook group. You know, Jim Reber's another one from here from Boone. And the neat thing is basically, Bill gets out there and asks people, do you know what this depot is? This is from a such and such a town. Has anybody ever seen this? Some people will answer. And it's just like Trivia 101. It's incredible. There's all these little towns that used to exist in Iowa that don't exist anymore. I mean, but the neat thing is that these photos still are around. And it's like becoming detectives with a lot of this stuff. So,
well, they, you know, had the depots and started with those. And then you built your town around it.
Yeah, exactly.
And the elevator was next to it.
Exactly. And what's interesting about a lot of that, too, is a lot of people don't realize in the early steam days that a lot of depots disappeared and a lot of granite elevators disappeared because they ran out of wood. Because the steam locomotives, whether they be a 440, is the wheel configuration, they'd be dropping hot, you know, cinders on things, not intentionally, but it was just part of what that was.
It's what it was at the time,
And I'm always amazed, and usually it's the case, if you had a wooden platform, which a lot of them had wooden platforms, and if the top of your stack lined up with the gutter of the depot, which happened awful a lot of times, it literally was a recipe for maybe that depot not being there in a couple years.
We were there yesterday and gone today.
Yeah.
Well, I do know, and that's a lot of different things. And again, we started out talking about the different historical presentations and stuff. But at the James H. Andrew Railroad Museum and History Center, again, you've gotten these new displays up, and that's a huge collection.
It is. And we just got another sign that's displayed now. It's a Union Pacific Overland Route sign. From the 1930s, mm-hmm. and it's extremely rare. And we just put it up the other day. It's 3 feet tall by about, 2.5 feet wide. It's just, and that's, I've only seen one picture once, and we have that up now on display.
So when we've got this going, part of the capital campaign was to get you more space to be able to store things. And how has that progressed?
It's getting there. Our volunteers have been over there. They've been drywalling. They've been opening up the rooms. We have heating and air conditioning over there. Electrical's all been done over there. We've got a new roof on it. We've got new windows. It's been painted on the outside. It's not the same building anymore. It's so much nicer than it was.
Was that in an interurban depot?
Actually, I found out. We wondered how old it was. I do know now when it was built. The Fort Dodge Line started in 1906. This was built in 1908. So there's only that structure and then the depot in town here, the Napier Depot that was moved here. And then one other building in Des Moines that I think is all I believe that exists anymore.
Still of that.
Of the Fort Dodge Line, but there's nothing else left.
But one of the things from the capital campaign that the Boone and Scenic Valley did, and part of it was, yes, we need more storage for our artifacts and things like that.
Right.
So the old depot building, right off the main line there pretty much, you guys have done a lot.
Yeah, we really
anybody
have.
Anybody drives by and you look at it and go, this is not the same building.
It really, really, really needed it badly. The southeast corner was leaking all the way down to the basement at one time. It needed a new roof. It needed everything. And now it's extremely safe. But if you'd seen it 3 years ago or 4 years ago, it was another matter, you know.
But that's again, you already owned it, nice facility that you were able to preserve, and then make use of it for your storage.
Right. The entire building will be used for storage. And so we have multiple rooms upstairs. We've got multiple rooms downstairs. It's more open on the first floor. Mm-hmm. But the good thing is that there's enough space that we can really grow into and use it for many, many years to come, which is terrific.
We want to keep it there.
Yeah.
Because people will know more about it.
Yeah.
We'll learn more about it all the time.
The nice thing, too, about it is that we went so far as we got even period lights out there, which turned on at dusk, which is kind of nice, you know. So
again, that's just one of the things I got to ask, because obviously a lot of people will say, well, talk about Rail Explorers. Rail Explorers is basically, they have a contract with the Boone and Scenic Valley to operate on your track.
Exactly. And the neat thing about that is, they started in the middle of the year last year, which is incredible. It was an amazing amount of work that had to go into getting everything up and going. And so I was on some of the first test rides, and it was really, really cool. And I knew it would be terrific, and it has been. I believe that they've had over 8,000 riders this past year. There's been several people that have been over the age of 100 years old that have been on it. You don't have to be, like I had a knee done recently. I feel like I could go out and be on one of those bikes now, believe it or not. They usually get for what they call a tandem Rail Explorer, two riders at $45 a piece. There's a larger
The quad,
bike, called the quad. That's four riders at $40 a piece. So it books up really, really fast. So if anybody's interested in that, they have to book early, because I had no idea that it was going to be that popular, but it certainly has been.
So the big thing that I want to know is, I know because people will come in and then they can't go right away. They have to wait a little while or they get back. I saw a lot of traffic headed towards your signal garden.
Yeah.
A lot of people taking a look at all of that. And have they been coming into the museum?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they have. We've had increased attendance in the museum, which is great. We've had increased attendance with the trains, which is really great. That was we were hoping that would be a residual thing from this. And so what's nice is that, this is a 13-mile round trip through the Des Moines River Valley. You go across the bridge. The first time I went across with the owners of Rail Explorers, we were excited as can be going across that. Actually, because you're low slung and you have enough bridge on each side of you, you don't have this vertigo experience at all.
It's like looking out the rail car.
No, it's really, really nice. Each of them are very heavy and solid. They're built beautifully, so they've got a number of those. And basically, you can get on our website to find a link, or it's www.railexplorers.net, and they have a 1-800 number that you can call too. And so it's been really successful, much more than we realized.
But that's okay.
And yeah.
Travis, thank you for going, keeping in touch with them and stuff. Back to our presentations that are going to be going on. Again, we touched on, in fact, we started with Stuart Buck. Dave Kroger's the next one up.
Yep.
And again, this is Saturday. It's free. People can come in at no charge to watch this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always great because you get not only that, but you get to visit with them afterwards and stuff.
Right. We got coffee and cookies and things like that.
But if you want to do Zoom, that's available too.
Right. Yep. And so just be sure to email me, Mike, M-I-K-E, at B as in boy, S as in Sam, V as in Victor, R as in Railroad, and R as in Railroad.com, and I will send you a Zoom link for that, which is really great. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, we got that. And Aaron Isaacs will be coming up in March, mid-March, once again talking about streetcars of Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot different than streetcars of Iowa, mm-hmm. which you've already had some people talking about some of those. But again, yep. just another process. The winner of 36 with Don Hofstra.
That's going to be really interesting.
That one will be.
Especially when you see the images of people with shovels 100 feet in front of a steam locomotive, and they're doing all this, and they're like 8 feet of snow on each side of them.
It's not like watching some of the big snow removal things that they use nowadays.
Exactly.
Anyway. Yeah. Mike, do appreciate you taking time to come in and talk to us about it. People can always go online, Boone and Scenic Valley Road, BSVRR.com, mm-hmm. I think it is.
That's right.
And again, you got a lot of information, not only about train rides and everything else, but these activities and more that are coming up. And stop by, and if you'd like to volunteer and be part of the team.
By all means, yes.
Make contact.
Yeah, talk to Melissa. You can call her 1-800 number, talk to Melissa. Or if it's a museum, talk to me, Mike, and we'll get you set up. We could use your expertise and your help.
All righty. Thanks so much for coming in and joining us.
Thank you.
We'll probably talk to you, after we find out how well Dave does. No, he'll be good.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
But we'll maybe touch base a little bit again before Aaron Isaacs comes in.
You bet. That'd be great.
See how things are going as we get ready for the new season at
Sounds
the
good.
Scenic Valley. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.